You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
One, go.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, guys, and welcome to a very special version of the, or edition of the Joe Rogan Experience Review. Joined by my buddy Pete. He's my buddy. We're doing basically like an old school recap of a classic Rogan. Anthony Bourdain. Episode 138, way back.
Way back.
This is like so far back, even Joe is like still not feeling his intro music.
He's still sorting like, it all out. Old he's it is. Figuring it out.
Yeah. He's figuring it out. Red bands on this one. Red bands on this. And I wanted to hit this one because, as we all know, Anthony's death was tough on Rogan. It was very difficult for him. Anytime that it's brought up, I think it's just one that it's a friend that he misses and will always miss forever. And I just wanted to go back and kind of discuss it. I mean, when Bourdain was on Rogan, that was before I started doing reviews. So for me, it's kind of a bummer that, I didn't get to review him before he was gone. What a remarkable guy. And, I'll tell you what, listening to that podcast very hungry.
Hungry, and also you can hear his individuality in his words. He was a singular human. Awesome guy. I miss him.
Yeah. Very, very unique individual. I mean, he's almost like the Hunter S. Thompson of food
in a way.
Maybe if not you're a foodie, as crazy.
He's your guy. He is God.
And you know what? If you're not a foodie, he's the kind of guy that makes you a foodie. Like Joe said many times during this episode and has since, like, he never understood or saw food as like an art form. It was just a thing you consumed. But now Joe sees it as like temporary art. It's like changed his understanding. And Anthony was so good at delivering his message, it wasn't like just appealing to people that were into interesting foods. It was like, we all eat food. We're all interested in it. We don't realize exactly how into it we are. And it takes somebody like that to kind of highlight it for us. Like, oh, by the way, this is why these flavors are important to you. This is why you like this. And
poetry. Also, he crafted the way people come up to food. He crafted the way my friends have started their own businesses. I know one man, very successful chef here in Albuquerque, who looked to Anthony and his books as canon, as a text, a religious tome. It was all about it.
Yeah. Well, Red Band talks about how is it Kitchen Confidential?
One of his books.
That's his big book, right? And Red Band in the podcast was talking about how all the chefs he knows have that book. It's kind of like the Bible for chefs. It's awesome. And he was 44 when he released that. Like, so he wasn't famous before then. He was just struggling chef/writer, and then boom, became famous at 44 and so famous. I mean, he was ridiculously famous.
Yeah, he overcame a life of late nights, reckless alcohol and drug use, failure, feeling of failure. He got over all that shit and popped off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his downfall was so striking for me and many. It's because you seemed like he had it all together, and he figured it out.
Yeah, heartbreaking. But that loneliness gets in there, man. It gets in there, and until the individual addresses it, nothing can fill that gap. Like, he was beloved by so many, and it wasn't enough. It was like, did he love himself type of thing? And that's a hard one when you've been to, you know, a dark
totally.
Place.
We have to seek out that solution. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it just highlights that often people think that their problems can be solved by the things that they want. Like, oh, everything would be better if I just had some money, or if I was respected by all the people that I knew. And yeah, maybe for a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe for a while it would. But if you're not taking care of you and really caring for yourself, you know, then, which is hard to do. You have a lifetime of trauma in there, probably. And, you know, kind of forgiving yourself for it is incredibly difficult.
Are we worthy of it? It's
incredibly
difficult. Am I worthy of forgiveness? I see that in his writing, the self-deprecating.
Yeah, and I think it was a part of why people liked him so much too, because he never let the fame make him feel better than other people. You know, it was like, I'm still who I am. You know, he didn't lose himself in like all of that glory. But it also could have been keeping him close to that feeling as well. That was hard to shake, probably.
It was really nice to hear him speak. It was a great podcast. So nice. So nice to hear him speak. It was a warm, friendly podcast. Just beautifully done.
Yeah, and him just
guys were
slamming some
along.
Beers as well.
Getting along.
And, yep, and slamming some beers. And having a good old time. I mean, it was almost like less encumbered than when he does his show as well. It was like very freeing. Like, especially back then, it's like the Rogan Experience wasn't anything like it is today.
Night and day.
So he's just on it, just hanging out with his buddy. You know? He didn't even know what it was, really. He's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of podcasts. I'll come on and have a chat with you. I don't give a shit. I'll talk about whatever. Fuck it. Love that. Love that. But yeah, 44. That's so wild. That's kind of like Ricky Gervais. He wasn't... I think he was like 40 years old when he started.
I love
started
that. It gives us hope. And keep going.
Well, I think it makes like a unique type of celebrity. I think that's why Ricky is the way he is. Because he lived a life before that. It wasn't all he knew. He knew what it was like to struggle and be worried and have those fears and just also think that you're just a, you know, not to say just a nothing, but you're just a regular
we all are regular schmoes.
Yeah, but if you're a Justin Bieber, you don't even remember being a regular schmo. He was like 10 when he got famous. And now he's been worshipped like Michael Jackson for his whole life. I mean, there's no way that guy's not a complete
weirdo. There's
almost
no way that he could be normal. But I think that he's doing a relatively good job so far, that little guy. And then Ricky Gervais, I can't abide his music. It's all garbage. But I'd like him as a person that exists. It's fine. Whatever.
That explains why you have that Justin Bieber poster.
I like a 14-year-old six-pack, okay?
Iron stone.
Well, it's okay. Regardless of my art, and Ricky Gervais, what a treasure! Do you think? I think that Anthony would have liked Ricky. Actually, probably does or did.
I bet they knew each other. I would imagine they did. They're probably in the same kind of circles, you know. They definitely would have found each other very interesting. They're both very smart guys. Ricky has a new Netflix special.
Check it right out, for sure.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Kitchen Confidential, though. I'd like to read it. I'm like newly inspired. I'd like to go back and watch. What were his shows? Parts Unknown. And then the other. Reservations. Excuse me.
Parts Unknown, No Reservations, and Layovers was his other one, if I'm not mistaken. I'll just double check all that.
Yeah, I'd like to go back and go through those. I have watched plenty of them, but I would like to go back to the beginning and just kind of get into it, you know? And also maybe, you know, start taking cooking more seriously. I don't know if cooking classes are the way. I feel like YouTube has so much, but since I moved to Tennessee, I've been smoking a lot of meat on my Traeger. Yep. Inspired by Rogan. Doing some meat smoking, and you know, that's a learning curve. There's a lot in there, but you know, there's so much more nuance. Like, I would like to be able to navigate a spice rack and know what everything, you know, just be like, taste some soup and be like, oh, you know what that needs? Some cumin. Well, something. If someone was like, you know, what does cumin smell or taste like? I'd be like, I'd have to guess half of them.
On a smoky end of a
meaty bits
flavor scale.
Right. And then just get some really good recipes down and just take some pride in it. You know, when people are like adding white wine to a dish and then like, you know, simmering it down, and it's just like, I would never think to do this. I don't even know what it does.
You know what I generally do with white wine is just pour it in a glass and then pour it down my throat. So that's all I got. That's all I know about white wine. So when they talk about art.
And then eat a shrimp.
Pop a half-frozen shrimp in my mouth. I don't know what he means when he talks about art as food.
Well, think about it from like a really fancy restaurant, right? And it's not just about those like fancy little plates where they dollop like two little blobs on there and then all the sauce and then you're like, oh, that looks pretty. But it's like art in the flavor of it. It's like we eat to sustain ourselves and live, right? That's like the bare minimum. We're doing it to stay alive. But if you start eating in a way, not for every meal, but maybe some meals, in a way to be like, hey, this isn't to keep me alive. This is just for the best possible flavors. Just like to tantalize. That's the art portion. It's almost like bringing all the colors to the canvas, but you're bringing all the flavors to the plate. And then it's every mouthful is like, wow. And then it's like, you know, accompanied by this other side that also works perfectly, and it's like a symphony on that plate, that kind of.
I'd say you're doing a really good job of describing it to me.
Right, but I'm making it flowery, you know. I'm making it like a bit of poetry with it. It's like that's what he did exceptionally well. It's he would take some random dish and then create this metaphor and poetic description of what it is based on the culture, the people. You know, he wraps in like the hardiness of it and the
practicality,
the flavors that represent their soul. Yeah, it was glorious. And then you're like, oh shit, that does. It's like maybe the food, like each culture has different food, right? Like Hispanic people have a certain type, South America, they have their style. Indian food, you know, Middle Eastern, Chinese, Japanese have their own. And it's like, how does it... I could go
Mexicans.
On. But...
yeah. I noticed you didn't mention the English. And why is that?
I think I know where you're going with this, Pete, and it might be because English food generally is terrible. However, I will say that we went to the Irish pub near me this evening, or earlier today.
I have.
And you have eaten there. I had the Salisbury steak.
Okay.
Wonderful. The bangers and mash there. Okay. Fantastic. The shepherd's pie. I'm not saying English food is great. But if you are English, they do a
Aren't
good
those
job.
Irish?
Whatever, we're used to it. We have the worst food. No, I don't know. Shepherd's pie is English.
There's shepherds in England, mind.
And bangers and mash is... Yeah, there's a couple.
Just having a, I'm having one. I'm on one.
Stanley the shepherd. He's still there. But, yeah, our food is not the best. I mean, you'd have to work quite hard to poetically sell other nations on English food. I mean, our national cuisine these days is Indian curry. So we completely lost out to our own food.
Indian curry from India, if I'm not mistaken. The Indian continent? That's
incorrect, yeah.
Indian subcontinent?
Mm-hmm.
You can't lyrically describe beans on toast with a pint of lager? Did he ever go to England to do any of his shows, you think?
Let me list
his shows real quick.
I don't know. We had good chefs, though. He had a cook's tour.
Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, The Layover, The Taste, and Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. So he had quite a few shows. He must have gone to England.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Imagine if it was just a show where he just like, shits on the food.
Beans are hard. Waitress is fat. Lager's flat.
Well, there is a video online of him going to one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants. And I think this was before Gordon was like really big on TV. But people knew who he was as a celebrity chef in England. He doesn't really like being called a celebrity chef. He's a chef that also is a celebrity, you know? Because there are those, like, cook-on-TV-style chefs that he doesn't really want to be associated with. But anyway, Bourdain goes to his restaurant, this Michelin-star, super hotshot restaurant in London. And Bourdain discusses the food and basically says, yes, this is the best food I've ever eaten. This is the greatest thing. What Ramsay can do is it just...
Oh, that's good to hear.
Perfect. And then it's really cool, the very end of the little video clip. I don't know. I think it was like some BBC thing he was doing. I don't know. But at the end, it's just those two in the kitchen just talking shit to each other, which is hilarious.
People who work in a kitchen and chefs are... They're not to be trifled with. They're hardened. They will not take shit from you any which way.
Oh, yeah. I worked at a restaurant, actually with our mutual friend Sean once, and it was like fine dining. And the chef threatened to punch me in the face in the kitchen one time.
You liked it, probably, you dog.
Yeah. I was 17. He was like 28. And he was like, you say that to me again, I'll punch you in the face. And I did say it again because I needed the thing that he wasn't giving me because it was taking too long. I was the waiter, so I was like, I need it, so I'm going to say it again. And he just gave me this look, and I was like, oh, that guy's going to punch me in the face like any minute. They were a wild, wild crew. And I have to say, the guy was an excellent chef.
Yeah, and I thought it goes hand in hand with
it's like they
with anger.
Yeah, they had my respect. It wasn't like I left going, that guy sucks. I'm just like, yep, he's mad. But that's okay. He's
sorry
really
you
good.
Got mad about a side of potatoes, but I deserved it.
Yeah, I wish I remember what it was. I can't even remember. But yeah, he was a fiery guy.
Yeah, I have fiery a guy. Really passionate friend here in Albuquerque at the shop. Israel Rivera. He's often voted. Shout out to Iz.
Shout out.
He'll never hear this, but I hope he does. But he's a top voted chef, Albuquerque, over and over every year. Well, and he worked for it. He fucking worked for it. And of course, he's from Hispanic descent. He's Mexican parents. Israel Rivera. Name? Legend. And he...
What restaurant shop. Does he work at?
The Shop, oh, Albuquerque, the shop. New Mexico. Okay. Get ready to wait in line. It's worth it.
What kind of New Mexican
infusion, breakfast, brunch stuff. And in fact, he did the journey. He went to San Francisco. He was a sous chef under all the people. He went all around the United States sampling. I think he went to New York. And he's got it. I respect him because he sought out the skills of his craft.
I recommend that for any young person that's listening, wondering like what kind of career to go into. If you're into food and you think you can keep your ego in check, and you want to learn some resilience and an incredible skill set that AI is certainly not going to take over anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
Do that.
How human is that?
Like, you know, find the best restaurant you can. Say, I will just wash the dishes until you give me something else to do, and I'm here to learn. I think that would be a remarkable and super interesting adventure to go on. Like, well,
even if you don't,
you know, there have been plenty of years of my life that I was just doing this job, that job, this job. I could have carved out a bit of time and just said, right, I'm just doing, you know, good.
Even if you don't make it your career, if you work there 5 years, you'll know how to be safe in the kitchen. You'll know how to use knives, sharpen knives. You'll know how to make a stew. You know how to sear meat. You'll know how to start a roux. You know how to make a broth. That stuff is human nature. We're all connected by food. It's cross-cultural. It's a universal language, like math.
And it's always impressive.
And you get laid. Always.
Like,
you'll get that's laid.
That's definitely a big part of it. If you can just cook, like, an amazing dish out of nowhere and just, you know, really just the plates and the pair it with a wine and it's just all the flavors. The lighting,
low light.
My goodness.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Legendary. Now, people are going to yell at you. You know? You're going to be treated like shit. There's no HR department to complain to.
You will get sexually harassed if you're a cute guy with a nice tush like you were.
You're going to pay. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have that
lifelong skill set.
And also you'll be resilient too. You'll be tough. Yeah. Like that's preparing you for the real world in a big way.
Bless it.
For sure. I'm into it. This makes me want to
quit our lives. Let's start small. Let's do a food truck. Pancakes.
It'd be day one, and the chef is just like, hey, who the hell microwaved this beans on toast? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this job. I don't need to put up with this. I have, like, no resilience.
Weeping
I just leave,
in this crying. Other room, having to cry. Beans are hard. The toast is soggy.
I microwaved an egg. Blew up. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just I'm in the back just drinking all the
cooking at him.
Like, this guy sucks. How'd he get in here? He's got the palate of a hippopotamus.
Just crunching the whole watermelons back there.
Mm. So Bourdain's been over 100 countries, he said, for that show. That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Imagine that.
His show wasn't just like get there, cook something, eat something. His show was get there, negotiate the politics, deal with the people that might not like you or do like you, get involved with a family or a restaurant, eat, talk about the food, even hunting. He even hunted there.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Amazing. I think he was just so interesting, so beautifully curious, and such a like people person, and down for like the, whatever the adventure was, that's a universal language. People love that anywhere on the globe. They love someone that's like, I'm in it. Let's go. What we got? Throw the adventure at me. Because people would test him with things too. They'd be like, all right, try this, or fucking eat this lizard asshole. And he's like, I'm in. Just does it. Like, they loved him for it.
He saw the good in people, and he, it became more than, it became more than an eating show and a culinary experience. It was a travel show, and it was a human experience show. And that ultimately, that's what food is.
Yeah, it was a show on cultures, almost. Because food represents so much about the people, and that's what he drew together. It's like the universal language of all of us. It's like even if we hate or dislike a certain race or culture or whatever, which we shouldn't, we should all be cool and chill about that. But if there's one thing that can like kind of bring us all together, potentially it's food. You know, food from everywhere.
Exactly. And also dislike of the Dutch.
Well, come on. Those windmills,
tulips?
I don't trust them.
Get out of here. Wooden shoes, you're out of your mind. Out of your mind.
Wooden shoes. What? Can't play basketball.
Flip it around? Come on.
Do you think they were just really bad at inventing shoes? Or they were really good at wanting to kick each other with their shoes. Because I feel like that's where the advantage is. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're like, hey, I don't like your windmill, and you just shin them with your wooden shoe, that's like...
If you could pop one of those off and start whacking somebody with it, yeah, okay.
But you can't sprint fast.
You can't sneak around.
You
can't sneak around.
There's no give.
There's no... He's not sneaking
sneak
in
around.
Shoe.
It's like the only security systems they have in Dutch houses are like just wooden platforms around their home. You start hearing some clippity clip clops, and you're like, someone's coming.
Probably somebody named like Johannes is on his way.
One guy figures out just to wear socks and just basically breaks into all of the banks, all of the big homes. He's like, this was easy. This country is easy.
Bless it.
So good. So good. Well, they went over a few crazy stories that he got into. The elephant story seemed a bit nuts. Almost got trampled to death. There were some sketchy moments navigating different cultures and places. They got kind of stuck in a war in Israel, I think. Or some,
'twas
some
ever
bombing.
Thus.
He saw some dangerous things. Yeah. Pretty wild. Moved on to a few different foods that are controversial. Foie gras. Did I say that right? Foie gras.
Foie gras.
Yeah. Have you ever had
that? I had goose liver pate? Yes. And it's delicious.
Is it good?
It's kind of like between caviar and like potted meat. It's salty. Okay. It's creamy. I don't care for it. I have a pet.
Oh. Sounds like it might go good with a nice charcuterie. That is true. I've always said that about you.
I like hot ramen mm-hmm. with an egg in it, and that's about it.
Yeah. I feel like you would just like to kind of like make a stew out of everything on a campfire. Yeah.
I don't. That's
a lot of boiling
bits of things. Adding herbs and roots and parts of animals. So the poetry of food is probably lost upon a blockhead like me. I want to aspire to the finer things, but I'll have a bit of a roast beef with a lager, please. That's me.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're just keeping yourself going. Thinking of energy. You're more like that show Alone.
Well, like these frog eyeballs are tasty, aren't they? No, but they'll keep me going. They'll keep me alive. Beaver tail, yeah. Kind of just getting on with it.
Just get on with it.
Mostly.
You got to respect that too, though. You got to respect that too. They did talk a little bit about meat-only diets. And it was interesting on this one to hear Joe
on the other real side
suspicious
of it.
About it. He was like, yeah. He was like, nah, you got to have vegetables. You can't just eat meat. You get diverticulitis like Brock Lesnar and blah, blah. And you know, I think it speaks to the open-mindedness of Rogan. He's not like locked into any one way of thinking. You know, obviously, through the years, he's like talked with Dr. Rhonda Patrick about keto diets. And then other people have come in and discussed carnivore, and he's tried it and it works well and he's learned more about it. But it was interesting to kind of hear him discuss it in that way at that time. I mean, to be fair, if I had heard this podcast, I would have thought the same thing. Like, it took me a long while to believe that, you know, mostly red meat only diet with maybe some eggs and cheese is healthy or could be. You know, we would been so trained in our lives to not think that was good for you that untraining that takes some time. And it was cool to hear it, but Bourdain wasn't having it. He was like, no, it's fine. You can get that. He goes, also, you can get diverticulitis from fucking cucumbers. It's like, it's not the meat. It's just like bits of stuff that get stuck that you can't digest.
Yeah, I think diverticulitis involves genetics and hydration. And
yeah, it's just not as simple as we thought, right? And you know, and he references like the Inuit cultures that are primarily just fats, you know, just seal and fat, and they are great.
And
they're healthy. Like they're even somewhat unusually healthy.
I guess you can get vitamin D from meat. Is that correct? No? I think...
I don't know. Well, you know what? I don't think it's not sunny up there. I mean, if you've got a lot of reflection from the snow, it's like people get like snow blindness.
Oh, that's true.
I'm pretty sure you can get like burnt. Yeah. In snowy places that... I mean, there's a lot of reflection.
You know, those Inuit cultures.
They might not be struggling too bad. Because they're kind of, Inuits are like a little bit tan too, anyway. They're not like pale.
Like Asian descent. Yeah, they're
Asian.
And also they are genetically similar to the Navajos here, Athabascans in New Mexico. Athabascan is the language group, Athabascan. And then that language group denotes their genetic affiliation with those tribes of the frozen north. So they're all kind of related, and they're all very tan.
Oh, damn.
They're born with a lot of melanin.
Yeah. Yeah, and you would think that they would only keep that up there, if they were still, you know, needing to protect themselves from a lot of UV
that makes sense to me.
Bouncing around.
I've seen those hands he talked about, the hands that they are less susceptible to frostbite because they have increased blood flow with their hands and their extremities.
That's amazing.
Their fingers are literally an inch wide. They are look down at your finger. Your
really?
Finger is probably about a half inch. Theirs are doubly wide.
Yep.
Sausage finger.
So they have sausage hands.
You need that in the cold war.
You need that,
and also when you got to keep your gal happy, right? Maybe.
Popular. That's your entire like hinge date profile. Inch
wide.
Fingers. What else do you need to know? Yeah. What? Yeah, not long. Yeah, I guess you'd have to specify that. It'd be confusing. They're like, I think he has tiny hands. I'm not dating him.
Inuits are incredible. Well, I wish Anthony could have visited all the tribes of the Arctic Circle, because there were some that just ate seals, like he mentions, and there's some that just ate whales. He didn't mention that. And there are some that ate walrus, and there are some that just ate reindeer. And then they had this whole, each of them had a whole different way of eating, a whole different way of getting their nutrients. Yeah.
No shit. I would have thought whales would be like I didn't think you could just live on whales.
Oh, yeah.
Like it would be one of those type of meats that, you know, has a lot of the mercury. That, like, biomagnification, I think
they
call it, which is, like, where certain species, you know, like shark, for example. I don't think anyone can just live on shark because they have, like, high
mercury content,
like, metal.
And that
content
is because of humanity and the products of humanity.
Hippie.
But before all this,
that is
before,
true.
Before that the is industrialization, true. Industrialization of the world, you can. You could have. And there
we
was a story
about
somebody walking across this bay on the back of whales. Whales were so prevalent that there's almost too many whales. Now we have no idea where they are, but in the old days, you couldn't look across a body of water without seeing a spout of seagull in the air due to a whale blow.
Right. But do you know that a lot of whale numbers have really come back? Like in the 80s, it was, you know, Greenpeace were big advocates for saving the whales. My dad was big into that. We used to do he still is. We used to do charity walks, you know, where we'd like raise money, and I'd have like a form. I was like 10 years old and like people could sponsor me. And we do it. It was like just something he was really into. I was 10, dude. I was just doing what my dad was into.
I like that.
But it was still nice. And many of the numbers had just been so wiped out that it looked like certain species were going to be gone. These numbers got down to very low. And many of them have come back to strong, strong numbers. Which is a great testament to that work. And also to just, you know, that's the kind of species you don't want to knock out. It's like, come on. They're the biggest animals on the planet. They're pretty fucking cool, and they're smart.
Can we just, not eat those guys? Let's just, skip them.
Don't eat them. Eat other stuff.
Enough to eat. Beans on toast, cucumber slices.
There's loads of beans on toast. Eat that. It's pretty terrible, but try it. Anyway, Anthony, legend. We miss him.
He was a comedian there at the end. Yeah, he was a
stand-up
comic at the end. Or last few years of his life, he was selling out town halls, selling out arenas. Not arenas, maybe, but he was a stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah, kind of. I mean, just an amazing storyteller. And, you know, and got quite heavily into jiu-jitsu, too. It's a shame that his girlfriend was, I don't know. I don't want to disparage.
We don't really know what did it.
Sounds like she was.
To be honest, we don't know what did it for him. But it's important to keep your friends close. Hug them tightly. Say what's going on, bud. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, tell me you love him. Tell me you love him. All right. Awesome. I really enjoyed this one. It was good. We're probably going to do more of these, like recap. Like, I think maybe we call them the classic Rogan series.
Flashbacks.
Go back and check some great ones out. Yeah, some flashbacks. We're going to explore them, and hopefully you liked it. And otherwise, we will speak to all of you guys next week.
Good night.
Thanks a lot.